All right, part two, comedic monologues. Same order, Gavarok, Fëanor, you're up first.
All right, men. Each and everyone here today knows exactly why they're here. We all have a duty to do, and we will do it. Some of you may not make it out of this alive, but it's a risk we're all willing to take. You are brave men. None of you are cowards. And if we die today, we will die for honor. We will die for justice! For too long now have we had to put up with this little bastard. For too long now have we been tortured, our ears raped, our eyes assaulted. No longer. So now I stand before you, proud and brave men, in front of the gates to Disneyland, and I say no! No longer. We will march in there. We will find the man dressed up as Mickey fucking Mouse, and we will kill him. For no longer will we put up with that little hellraiser on our TV sets. For no longer will we listen to his high-pitched voice. No! It ends now. We will march. We will find, and we will kill. We will beat the stuffing right out of that little mousy bastard. And we will find Donald. Oh, yes, we will find Donald. And we will capture that fuck. And we will mail him right to Mr. Peking himself. And he can make us a nice family dinner. And do not even get me started on that goddamn Goofy thing. I don't know if it's a dog, a raccoon, a ferret, a fucking abomination of nature, or some guy that's a little bit retarded. I don't know. But I do know that the first person to see him and smack him in the face is going to get a bonus. $100 on the house for smacking that bastard's face off. All right. You know what we're here to do. And you know that we will stop at nothing to do it. If you see anyone in a costume, even if they're female, they die. On three, we march. 3, 2, 1. Death to Disneyland! Ow. Guys. That last scream kind of hurt my throat. I'm gonna stay back here. You guys rush and do the killing. I'm gonna watch you with these binoculars. Yeah. Good. Huh? What? You don't want to? You don't want to get banned for life? Oh. Yeah. It probably wouldn't be a good idea, would it? Oh. But the Peking joke was funny, right? Yeah? Yeah. I was proud of that one. Yeah. So, what, you want to go home then, or maybe go on some of the rides? Rides sound fun. Yay!
Oh my god. Wow. This is an example also of not knowing moment. Who they were going to be performing for when they recorded these a while ago.
That's right. Everybody's hearing dun dun dun, and Gav's hearing dun 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 dun.
Oh no, Ambie's reviewing Ow. This.
Gav, oh my god.
What'd you think, Reed?
I think Gav's dead. I think that Ambien's going to hunt him down and kill him.
We're looking at you now, Gav.
Yeah, who's afraid of who now?
Hide.
Wow. Oh, boy. Okay, so the funny thing is that at first I was like, what are we talking about? And I swear I thought we were talking about sperm or something. I was just like, there's got to be something comedic here. I mean, there's got to be something funny. And it wasn't. It really wasn't. Gav, what is this monologue? This isn't funny. Even without Ambie being here, it wasn't. It just kind of wasn't. I mean, the end, I liked the end, but by then I'd been sort of disconnected from the whole thing because I don't know. It didn't. I really liked your first one a lot better than this. I'm sorry. I just, when you started saying Mickey, I was just like, oh my God. Ambie?
Are you sure you want me to go now, or should we wait to hold my opinion to last?
No, go ahead.
Maybe Gav doesn't know how you feel about Disney.
Well, when I worked at Animal Kingdom... Kidding. Okay. No, I agree. Like, at first I was like, what is this? This is not... I thought this was the comedy monologue. I was literally writing down, this is a dramatic... And then you, like, said Disneyland, and I was like... Oh, I laughed so hard. You have no idea. I mean, this was just like a giant joke for me because I worked with the characters. It also made me kind of mad that you wanted to kill my friends. It's not the performer's fault. Let me just tell you.
Never mind.
What?
They're not from Nebraska.
They're not from Nebraska. There is no Disneyland in Nebraska, so there can't be no death.
Maybe if there was a Disneyland.
Maybe his two monologues are interrelated.
Right, this is what Disneyland would be like if it was in Nebraska.
Minnie Mouse did not return his unrequited love.
Yeah. And Goofy was looking at him.
This one first, because then the other one would have been like the after.
It was like a flashback.
Wait. So the original, so the psychotic Gav goes to Disney and just looks at him going, "You're looking at me."
Yeah, pretty much. They just stare at him with unblinking, huge Chippendale eyes.
Which would explain why he went crazy.
Exactly.
Oh, and by the way, the Peking duck joke was funny. You asked if it was funny, it was funny. I was waiting for you at the end to like be like, yeah, let's go ride some teacups or something like that. Like you said rides. It would have been better if you like even went with like, I don't know if this is like one you made up. Because it almost felt like something that someone would just write. Like, I don't know if this is actually like a... quote-unquote published monologue from something. It did sound semi-familiar to me in the beginning, but then it just kind of got like whacked out, and I was like, okay, maybe I don't know this, because I'm sure that I would remember this if I had heard this before. But I thought it was good, but I thought you started getting a little too just, you're pushing it, especially in the end when you're like screaming and stuff like that. Wait, your mic sucks. I'm saying it right now, your mic sucks. It was just going back to that topping thing times like 10 from the first one. But this I thought was still, it made me laugh very hard, which I guess is a good thing for a comedy monologue.
Mm-hmm. I think it made you laugh more because of the theme
of it. The context. So I think I'm probably a poor judge for this one because it's so, like, this is so, like, touching home for me. Well, so what did you think,
I'm not judging them based on their monologue, like, the theme, like, their actual writing in the monologue. I'm judging it more based on the acting, and I don't think this was acted that well. It was a little over the top for me. And I think with comedy, it's easy to fall into that over-the-top trap. Yeah. And it might have worked for this monologue, but in that case, this monologue wasn't a good choice because it's still an acting competition. Mm-hmm. That's my thought on it. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, because it was kind of towards the end, especially, it almost like he was milking it towards the end.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that people fall into horribly is milking people for the laughs. Like, once people start laughing, they just do things that they've never done before, thinking like, oh, if I do this, I'm going to get a laugh. And it did start feeling like that towards the end, especially.
And Ambie was crying tears of sadness, too, which was funny.
That was funny for them to be like, Ambie's tears taste delicious.
Like, she was all excited about it being Disney. She started making the dolphin noise, and by the end, it was just a sad, crying dolphin. Nobody wants that.
It's more like a goat. What was that?
Should we move on? Right, guys. Up next. Okay.
Remember Lord Carlsbad? Lonely old bugger, lots of money, no children. I'd spoken kindly to him on occasion, even took him out to dinner once or twice. He was so grateful that one day, quite out of the blue, he promised to make me his sole heir. His sole heir! He's worth millions, you understand. I couldn't believe my luck. I hadn't asked for it, never thought of it, really. But from that day forward, in order to show my appreciation, you know, I began to spend practically every waking moment in his company. I'd drop by first thing in the morning, and we'd play checkers, shuffleboard. At first it wasn't so bad, you know, not terribly exciting, but I'd just think of the money, and that would keep me going. After a few weeks, though, I began to run out of steam. He liked to tell war stories. Never actually fought in the war, mind you. Spent most of the war typing in some office in Liverpool. Try to imagine, if you will, war stories that involve mostly typing. An occasional flirtation with the frumpy secretary or a heated debate over the proper use of the semicolon. It was interminable. I knew I couldn't keep it up much longer. Still, the inheritance. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I'd already spent most of it in my head. I began to think up ways to hurry him along, if you know what I mean. Little things at first. I convinced him to take up cricket. Thought the exertion might be too much for his heart. But it only made him healthier. Suddenly he looked 10 years younger. I took him boating, thought he might fall in and drown. I even went so far as to rock the boat a little. But the little bugger had impeccable balance, and, worse luck, he always wore a life jacket. I began to get desperate. Finally, I decided to approach the butler. He was an unhappy little man, bitter that he himself had been overlooked for the inheritance. Together, we concocted a plan. Are you familiar with ricin? No? It's a powerful poison, extracted from castor beans, of all things, twice as deadly as cobra venom. The butler agreed to administer the poison the next time his master called for wine, which he did constantly. Oh, he was a drunken sot. In return, I promised to reward the poor fellow for all his years of loyal service, something his master had never done. The next evening, after our usual activities, the servant brought 2 cups, the poisoned one for Carlsbad and the other for me. Unfortunately, the incompetent oaf got nervous, switched the cups somehow, gave me the poisoned cup, and a few minutes later, much to my surprise, there I was, dead on the floor and cheated out of my inheritance. I suppose you think it's very funny. So did the old man. After he got over the initial shock, he put it all together, I guess, and laughed hysterically at his butler's mistake.
Recording. Okay. I think 2 accents was a mistake.
I don't think he did that on purpose.
The old man is laughing, but I'm not. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I laughed. I cried. Mostly I cried.
This accent in particular, you weren't staying in it. Like, all his years of loyal service, you came out of the accent.
No, if you're
half British, half Cockney
accent, you've got to commit to it 100% of the time, or it just falls apart.
There is no reason to do 2 accents.
I don't think he did it on purpose.
Yeah, well, it was just accidental. The accidental accent.
It was Butler British. We'll call it Butler British, and then it slipped into Cockney a couple of times.
I'm very confused.
Yeah, I'm... Maybe it was supposed to be, like, British comedy, like the British Office type of thing. Oh, this is hilarious! And everyone from America's going, huh? Where's the fart joke?
No, I love British humor. This is
I do, too. I like it better.
This is not what it was. I'm a big Monty Python fan. This is not that kind of thing. You know, the problem is, and I'm realizing we're going to have trouble with this for all the comedic monologues, is there's no time for a setup.
Right,
you know?
Right.
In order for it to be funny, you kind of have to have a setup first, and there's really no time for that. I mean, the whole joke of this was supposed to be that he's in fact dead, but it really, we're not judging him whether it's funny or not. So,
I'm not, like, I'm just judging the acting on it. Mm. I just think acting comedy and acting drama are 2 different things.
Oh, definitely.
So, like, I'm mostly looking at the acting, and I don't think this was acted that well. And you're usually super strong, so I don't know what happened. What happened this time?
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, basically. All the acting notes that I have here were the exact same acting notes I have from the first one. There were pacing problems. There were really no levels to it. It was all kind of the same thing. It started getting into a pattern of speaking after a while, and I started zoning out. They're the exact same notes, except this, I think, was even more boring, because at least in the first one, the context of it was a little entertaining, but this was just plain boring. it could have been... I think maybe more entertaining, and I think the whole reason that there was no setup was it was supposed to be like that kind of surprise at the end, like, oh, by the way, I'm dead, but it just wasn't handled well going to that point.
Yeah, but that's ironic more than comedic.
But I think that irony was supposed to be the comedic part of the monologue, was the irony of it, and it just completely got lost.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, I kind of saw it coming, too, like it didn't... As soon as he started talking about the poison, it clicked that it was going to be a twist. That also is probably because he named his monologue something about zombies. But like, aside from that, I don't think that the accent was a good choice.
No.
And I don't think that...
I think he did that because he was the butler. I think he was trying to do that.
I don't think his monologue needed an accent. Is what?
No, he wasn't the butler.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was the guy. The butler accidentally switched them. He's the guy that was supposed to inherit, right? Because the butler accidentally mixed them up.
Yeah, yeah, the butler accidentally... Oh, okay. But either way, I don't think this monologue needed an accent.
Yeah.
So...
Well, maybe he thought, since they're, like, talking, like, you know, inheritance and lords and stuff, that he thought, oh, this must take place in Britain, so I better start with, I better have an accent.
Even if it does take place in Britain, don't use...
You could be the American cousin of this guy.
Exactly. There's American people in Britain.
Yes.
Some, allegedly. I've never seen one, but I don't live in Britain. We'll have to ask.
I'll have to ask Clary.
I'll ask Clary, yeah. Or Rochelle.
Oh, yeah, that's the... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Rochelle used to live in Britain, so maybe she would know. She was in Britain, and she's American, so there you go. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, you know, one of the things, I mean, I've done all sorts of different accents myself, but one of the things when you're here on this international site, which we have people from, obviously, Australia and England, there's people on the site that are from Africa. I mean, they're from everywhere.
What?
So yeah.
Who's from Africa?
Milan's from Africa.
Is she?
Yeah,
really?
That's awesome.
From Africa. She lives in Florida now, but she's originally from Africa.
I'm gonna start talking to her more now. That's awesome.
So, I mean, comedy. So, you know, like when you have the accent, that means that's all the more reason to be really super careful about it. Because I mean, we're Americans, and I can only imagine British people are gonna really notice the difference. But I think that that just led to distracting away from what was probably really going on. I think he delivered realistic lines, but the energy was just sort of all dumped into the accent. And I, actually, to be honest with you, I would have picked a different monologue.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
This monologue didn't give you a lot of room to put more into it. If you had done more, you would have ended up going over the top. There was very, very narrow. I think there was a very narrow space for this venue to have found the right medium on that.
Tough night. Tough night tonight.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Are you guys ready to move on?
Okay.
Yep.
Fate of Phantoms up next.
I want to talk to you about life. It's just too difficult to be alive, isn't it? And try to function. There are all these people to deal with. I went to the supermarket to buy a can of tuna fish, and there was this person standing right in front of where I wanted to reach out and grab the tuna fish. So I waited a while to see if he'd move. And he didn't. He was looking at tuna fish too, but he was taking a real long time on it, reading the ingredients on each can as if they were a book. Pretty boring book if you ask me, but nobody has. So I waited a long while, and he still didn't move, and I still couldn't reach the tuna fish cans. And I mean, I thought about asking him to move, but then he seemed so stupid as to not have sensed that I needed to get by him, that I had this awful feeling that it would have done no good at all to have asked him. I mean, he probably would have said something like, "I'll move when I'm goddamn ready, you nagging bitch." And then what would I do? And so then I started to cry out in frustration, softly though, so as not to disturb anybody. And still, even though I was softly sobbing, this stupid person didn't grasp that I needed to get by him. So I reached over with my fist, and I brought it down real hard on his head, and I screamed, "Would you kindly move, asshole?" And then the person fell to the ground, and he looked totally startled. And then this child nearby started crying. And I was still crying. And I mean, I couldn't imagine making any use of the tuna fish now anyways. And so I shouted at the child to stop crying! I mean, he was just drawing too much attention to me. So I ran out of the supermarket and I thought to myself, I'll take a taxi to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I need to be surrounded by culture right now. Not tuna fish.
So, again...
We can't get Reed to stop laughing.
Reed's lost it now.
It's like contagious.
So,
Are we good?
We didn't. What?
I'm trying to make sure that he's not gonna like burst out laughing again.
We're gonna breathe it again. I'm sorry, because I'm just thinking about how, like, I'm just sitting here going, what is going on? It's like, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in Nebraska, where everybody dies.
Everybody's dying tonight. Even in the comedic, they're still dying. God.
Okay,
so, when you do a comedic monologue, especially one like this, I still want to hear conversational. I didn't hear conversational. This was over the top, and it was played for the lulls more than the, like, I was going to say realism of the situation. I know it's not, like, a very realistic situation, but I still want to hear conversational, because you're obviously talking to somebody, and I didn't get that, so this was not one of my favorites tonight. Well, might have been one of my favorite comedic ones, but that's not saying
it was my favorite dramatic one.
Yeah, it was my favorite dramatic one, too. What did you think, Ambie?
See, I thought it started off conversational-ish towards the beginning, but then you lost it. Then it just started getting, like, hamming it up a little bit. There was this one pause that was way too long. Yes. Like, that, I don't know, it was right near the beginning, and it was like, it felt like I was watching Rocky Horror Picture Show with the "say it" thing going on.
Denver.
I did believe the rage, like psych. Why is everyone psycho tonight?
Yes! It's Nebraska.
So psycho.
They're angry because season 3 has been super fail.
Aww. But, and guys, remind me never to shop for tuna with Faded. Ever.
Really?
In Nebraska.
We can shop for tuna in any other state except for Nebraska.
Exactly.
We're in Disneyland. Because Cap's shooting everybody up.
Stay out of Disneyland.
As he comes out of the closet with his Tommy gun.
Connecting
them all together. And then Ryguy tries to get him off because he's on trial. Right.
For being a zombie. He's cross-examining the man that poisoned him. The butler that messed up. But where's Rochelle and all that?
Rochelle outed Gav.
Because she outed him. She's the one that opened the door and let him out.
That's true, because Gav was dating Minnie Mouse, and then he found out the person inside Minnie Mouse was a dude, and he came out of the closet and then started shooting up the place. Right. It all makes sense. Can we have a sexy tiger noise for that?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah!
And a sexy doll. Sorry, Amy, go ahead.
That was amazing. Yeah, I don't know how I felt about this Faded, because, like, part of me really liked it, but part of me also really didn't. The one that was, I loved the Met line at the end, because it was so random out of nowhere. What the hell? That was my thing. Well, she's not Nebraska then, she's in New York.
Same difference.
Nebraska is the New York of the Midwest.
That's right.
So I really don't know how I felt about this. I will say I think it was probably my favorite comedy of the night, but I agree with Dylan that it wasn't one of my favorites for the night, but it might be one of my favorites for this half. I don't know. I guess we're just gonna have to see how Rochelle Yeller does
the
for
thing,
me at least.
The thing Faded with you. You're really good at subtle, but then when you have to go big, it goes way over the top. So you just have to be careful, and even when it's big, try to keep it contained to a realistic thing. What did you think, Reed?
This is the first comedy that made me laugh, but it didn't make me laugh for the right reasons.
You were like losing it in the middle of the
night. I was desperate for comedy. I thought we were getting comedy, and I was like, partway through, I'm like, oh my god, she's gonna kill somebody. What is going on?
And as we learn from Weekend at Bernie's, dead people are not funny.
That's right. That's exactly
right. Hilarious. You know, what?
And I know that we're not supposed to judge on whether it's actually funny or not, but this felt like a dramatic psycho monologue, not like a comedy monologue. And it felt like it was being portrayed like a psycho monologue, which really kind of threw me. It didn't feel like it. In the beginning, I wrote that there should be more energy on, you know, I want to talk to you about my life. It was sort of it was too low energy. It just didn't really kind of get started. And then I'm sorry. Then I wrote, oh my god, she's gonna kill him, and I lost it after that. So, but you guys thought it was over the top. I thought it could have been played much more over the top than this. I thought this could have been much more like.
Really?
Yeah.
And still worked.
Because the tone was all for dark comedy. This was really dark. I mean, the tone was very, very heavy. To me, I don't know.
I think the over the top could have worked if she didn't play it so serious.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like if she had played it more like slapstick comedy over the top, I think it would have worked better than this dark comedy that she did with it.
Yeah. well, I'm looking forward to seeing what else is coming.
But I feel like with dark comedy, you really need a context, or else it just seems dark.
Yes.
That's the problem with dark comedic monologues. Normally, like. With a comedic monologue, you want to, like, stay true to the writing and just let the writing be funny and don't try to sell it too hard, which I felt like you did, but the problem is the monologue itself wasn't very funny. I realize that's subjective. But without like, a context, it came off kind of dark.
Please tell me Rochelle Ayers isn't called Going Postal.
Rochelle Ayers is called Going to Nebraska. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
This is like the Nebraska.
Stop and go. Stop and go. How freaking annoying. I'm on the highway, and the moron in front of me can't drive. There's traffic all around, so I was stuck in my lane. But this asshole kept hitting his brakes every 2 seconds, and it was driving me crazy. Stop and go. Stop and go. How freaking annoying. I was getting sick to my stomach, and anxiety was creeping up into my throat. I started breaking out into a sweat, and my forehead was beginning to drip hot water, and then began going into my eyes, and as I'm wiping the sweat from my eyes, what happens? Oh, I bump the son of a bitch during the second I wipe my eyes because he stopped short. Stop and go, stop and go. How freaking annoying! I see the bastard get out of the car, and it's this little old lady with enormous curly purple hair. And I mean old. Old like my great-great-great-grandmother old. Ancient old. Like it took her 40 minutes just to get out of her car old. Old like dust. Dust! She was old! I get out of my car and I have all this pent-up rage, you know? I'm raging like a rageaholic, and I'm raging like a gorilla, pounding my chest, letting grrr and rrr, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to release the emotional turmoil I was involved in at the moment. It was a little old frail as can be lady. How can I possibly take my frustration out on her, right? Right? Stop and go. Stop and go. How freaking annoying. She's now standing up by her car door, and she slowly pulls out a fold-out walker. And I'm standing by my car's front bumper, watching this. Amazed, actually, because I thought I was living in some kind of surreal, deranged, horrible nightmare. And she finally hobbles over and looks at me with such disdain and vengeance. If looks could kill, I would have been fried dough, you know what I mean? She's looking at me with this hatred that made me cringe. I was afraid of her. I was scared that she would have read my mind. Because she was just looking at me like she knew what I was thinking.
I'm a little concerned about the VH members in general.
I'm very concerned.
There's so much
Valium
rage.
For everyone.
They're also amused by murder.
Yes.
God. We have some serial killers out there just waiting to happen.
I'm not looking at any of you.
I'm really afraid to have to announce the winner tonight, because then I'm gonna have 3 people trying to take me to Nebraska.
The next person that joins VH for Nebraska is being banned. I don't want that bad Nebraskan energy around here. This is my favorite comedic one of the night, because even though it was a little over the top, you committed to it and you stuck with it. And it did feel conversational in like one of those. I have friends that are like that are just completely over the top.
From Nebraska?
Yeah, from Nebraska. when they're telling a story, they just are so over the top with it. I have friends like that. I bought this in a way. I liked it as far as comedic monologues went tonight, it was my favorite. What do you think, Reed?
I was like, everybody needs Valium. You're all crazy. Okay, let me three things I want to say. In the beginning, I wrote, "Oh my God, more anger!" And I gotta say, in our discussions of what over the top was, Rochelle, that was over the top. That beginning section was definitely over the top. For me, I would have made a different choice. I'll just say that I would have portrayed this, especially if you're gonna look at this as a comedic role. I would have portrayed this in a much more frenetic, lighthearted way. Rather than angry, because the anger put a little bit of heaviness to it. That, you know, you did still get some dynamics of comedy associated with what was in the script itself, but the anger of it sort of just made it a little bit more dramatic with a twist of irony humor, as opposed to what could have been a bit more funny. But if nothing else, and I mean this with all of my soul and all of my heart. For me, you win because of that gorilla. That gorilla. That I almost fell on the floor when you did that. That was freaking hysterical.
We finally found something that made Reed laugh not in an inappropriate way.
I didn't laugh at a death, but I swear I thought you were going to kill the old lady.
What do you think, Amby?
I kind of agree with one of the things that Reed said about how the beginning was just like so over. Shut up. Like the beginning was so over the top, and it kind of started on such a high note that it didn't really go anywhere. Like you had to go even further with it to like go higher as you were throughout. I think it would have been better if you started off a little bit more low key and then build up to that rage. I think it would have been a better choice, and I think it also been funnier. Like, if you started off just like, oh man, this traffic sucks, and then being like raging at the little old lady, I think it would have been funny that you were like not as annoyed by the traffic as the little old lady who's coming at you with a fold-out walker. I love that part.
It's the new dolphin.
It is.
Rochelle has to do that on like every show she does now.
We expect that at the beginning of your next sing it piece.
Yes.
On your cover. Aria will be like, that was a glottal attack. Sorry, Aria.
So it was a good finale overall. We had fun.
Yeah.
Amby, answer my question in the Skype chat real quick. Before we progress to who the winner is tonight.
Are we still on?
I'm still recording.
What happened?
I'm still recording.
What? Huh? You killed the whatever show. What
just,
happened?
Yeah, whatever you just said, we didn't hear because that Skype does that sometimes. We're just kind of.
Oh, I said answer my question in the chat before we, Amby, and I said it was a good show tonight.
Right, and then you went dead. Oh my God, you went dead too. It's like Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska.
Do the gorilla voice, Amby.
Okay, so. We have a winner tonight of Act It Season 3. It's dramatic.
It is dramatic.
Should we just not drag it out and be like, oh, so-and-so, you didn't win because you sucked. Not that we would say that particularly, but...
Everybody died.
Yes, whoever doesn't win is dead. So when you don't see them tomorrow, they're actually dead.
They are being shipped off to Nebraska. That's
what they win. Their consolation prize is a one-way ticket to Nebraska.
Right, and we will sing about you in the next country immunities.
The winner of Acted Season 3 is Rochelle Euler.
Ba-bum.
Good job, Rochelle Euler. I know that was anticlimactic, but I'm ready for this show to be over with.
The gorilla made you win.
It's done!
La Tigra needs to come back and give Rochelle a sexy growl. There you go. Rochelle is also the first female to ever win Acted.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. We had Dark Wolf and Rye Guy, now Rochelle Euler. If Rochelle Euler is indeed female, I'm assuming.
I don't know. She's got some secrets. She could be in the closet as well.
It's quite possible.
Adding some sausage.
Congratulations, Rochelle. Everybody else, thank you guys for competing. It was a good season. I'm so glad the show's over. It was a good finale, though. We joked around a lot, but I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate everybody that worked hard on this, and I'm sorry it took so long to get out.
And yay, thanks for inviting us.
Yes, thank you, Reed. Yes, thank you, Amby. Do you guys have anything you want to promote while you're on here?
Conquer Your Voice is on hiatus at the moment due to some logistical problems, but it will be starting back up again, so just keep your eye out for it.
Look for Conquer Your Voice, Amby.
And I'll plug Cover It for Dylan so that he doesn't have to and look like he's egotistical.
Thank you. I would like to plug the state of Nebraska.
and to all you killers out there, we say goodnight.
Goodnight, everybody.